I want to read verse 1 John 5:3. ஒன்று யோவான் ஐந்தாம் அதிகாரம் மூன்றாம் வசனம்.
1 John chapter 5 verse 3. 1 John chapter 5.
More than in English, more than Tamil, the English is very nice. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That is, இதுவே தேவனுடைய அன்பு, நாம் அவருடைய கற்பனையிலே கை கொள்வோம். This is the love of God. Such a command and such a challenging word. I'm sorry, அது அப்படி ஒரு நல்ல ஒரு கமாண்டோட வருகிற வார்த்தை.
This is the word which comes with that powerful commandment, that this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments.
இந்த சமயத்தில் இந்த கான்ஃபிடன்ஸ் வைத்திருக்கிற, you know, what God has prepared for those who love Him. The theme,
I want to speak relating to the theme, what God has prepared for us, for those who love Him.
John, maybe Yohana, where and the oruvaru nesikkira nesam, devane nesikkira nesathai vaithu avar pesugirar.
John normally talks about loving one another and loving God.
But அந்த ஊழியம் என்று வரும்பொழுது, he received a commandment from his master.
But when it came to a ministry,
he received a commandment from the master, that is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to, and make disciples and baptize them and teach all the commandments what I taught you. See, he received the commandments in such a way that he obeyed it. He obeyed that commandment. And all the 11 disciples, they obeyed the commandment in what basis, you know? The basis of love for God. What God has prepared for those who love Him. Such a passion and love for God that can do many wonders in our life and ministry. That's what I have the burden now to share with regarding the ministry of literature. And in India, maybe all around the world, they have seen the love of Christ more than what we have seen through the Bible. They saw literally how Jesus suffered for the sinners. And when he was hanging on the cross, there were some disciples nearer to him, and some disciples were far away standing behind him. But whatever it is, they witnessed how much he loved the world and gave his life. And they were so amazed about the Calvary's love. That's got gripped the heart of the disciples. Those are so close to him. So, after 3 days he got resurrected. And when he met the disciples, the wound was just now healed, and it was with stripes. He showed them the stripes and said and commanded, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were so broken in their heart. It is a very first love that gripped the heart. And they, out of love for God, they took the commandment for them. All the 11 disciples, they were gripped by the love of God. And they took the commandment for them. And they went into all the world. They filled the continents, all the 5 continents, with the gospel of Christ. That's an amazing thing that even touched my heart. It's a wonderful way that they do the ministry out of the love for God. And God gave them, He prepared them that ministry. And He said, He never gave any money to them. Going to all the world, I will give you some few lakhs, or I'll arrange some, you know, ATM service, something like that. You can draw in my name. He never said like that. Then nowadays in the missionary organization, how many people they want the support of the financial support from back of them? No, he said, only one promise. Till to the end of the world, I will be with you. That was so enough for them. They never dependent on anything. They just dependent on God. When Jesus came as a missionary, he was sent by God. He all the time said, only one thing, my Father is with me. That is enough. They were heard it when he was with the disciples. All the time he was mentioning that, my Father is with me. So they trusted Jesus' word. And they also seen that he is resurrected now. And they also seen that the great love that set in their heart. And that urged them to go into all the world. I don't know what age they would be. Maybe Peter, maybe 35 or 40 years old. He got married. Everyone went to all the world and did a fantastic ministry. That is all because of they supremely loved God. That's the most essential thing. We must keep it in our heart. I say it for all the young people to challenge them. And it was, Paul said, the love of God constrained this. Nothing else. We should not be constrained to do something for getting fame, getting money, or getting the approval of someone, or even getting the approval of the CFC or anything like that. It is only the love of God should fill our heart and constrain us to do something for us, to do something for God. That's what happened to me when I was born again in 1968, when I was studying 10th standard. I remember that conversion under a tamarind tree. I was weeping and weeping and weeping and confessing all my sins. Lord, could you love me that such a worse sinner like me? What a great sacrifice you have done for me. And your love is so great. And I wept and wept and wept. I don't know, maybe one and a half hours under the tamarind tree. And what happened, you know, I was saved and Jesus was, I received Jesus in my heart. The very next day, I started speaking to my friends. For all the, we call it the cigarette friends. We gather a few young people with the cigarettes and smoke. And my family is a very godly family and they are a very disciplined family. But even then, the sin is very worse. And I did everything in a hidden way that all the sins. So I started speaking about Jesus to my friends. They gave me the cigarette and I told them, no, I have become a child of God now. They all laughed and mocked. Yesterday you took the cigarette from me, but now you say that I'm a child of God. And then I continued to say that. You all must become the child of God. They're all Hindu people and other good of my friends. God is changing my life. So, from the very first day, the conversion of my first day, the next day, the love of God can constrain me to such an extent that I can share the gospel to them. And what happened? And from 1968 onwards, 1961, till then, I was defeated in my secret life. I was defeated with my, no adultery, no robbery, anything outside, but inside I was so defeated. And I asked my pastor, with great sorrow I asked him, Pastor, I'm so defeated. I quickly became angry. Lust comes in my heart. What should I do, brother? can you help me? He said, as long as we are in the world, we have to be like that. Then what is the solution? Yes, there is a solution. When Christ comes, in a wink of the eyes, we will be transformed. And till then, you have to be like that. Then I was greatly relieved. Okay, maybe this is the right way to go. But 1981, till then it was a break of about 12 years. I lived a defeated life. But there was a great longing in my heart that, Lord, this is the thing, I want to grow more in like you. And show me the greater way that I can show my love to you and obey the word of God. And help me to be victorious in every way. Then, I was sent out from my house when I came to the ministry in 1981 with my first daughter, Salome. She was 9 months old. And that time I was with one pastor, one church. That is a GSF church. And I was there. 1981, the very first 1981 May, March I came out in 1981 May, the chief pastor, Gladys, he spoke about the victory over sin, and if you say you are abiding in him, you should walk like him. That really challenged my heart. It was not a heavy word for me. It was an occasion that I could receive the word and enjoy the gospel. So I was closely with him. He took me with me to Delhi. I stayed with him. But unfortunately, he died in the few months. He was only 42 years or 45 years old. He's a very godly brother. Before he was dying, he told me, "Brother, I got his victory over sin messages and rending of the veil and entering into God's presence from Zagpunan cassettes." And he was no more. And then I went to Madurai and I collected all the Zagpunan books and started reading it. You know, that pastor who was a good brother anyway, he gave me the Hidden Treasures part 1, part 2, part 3, part 4, and I was so excited and it thrilled my heart to know the truth. And it challenged my heart to walk in the way, to become transformed like the image of Christ. What a great joy that I have been saved from the uttermost to the, he took me out from the uttermost gutter to the rock of the topmost place and blessed me with the gospel. And the same year, 1982, the same year, Zach was invited to our place, and he came to the GSF conference. There were 4,000 people were there, gathered there, all over from the branches, and I used to lead the songs and everything, and Zach came over there, and that time he spoke powerful words for 3 or 4 days, I think. I was so gripped by that. And then I started translating that cassettes into their magazine, the GSF magazine I translated. That book, 1983, it was released. And that book name is the Muthu Kuviyal. Bringing the lot of, what is the purpose of the Pentecost? How the Pentecost is drifted away from the purpose of God into mere emotions and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The life is neglected. And with a great enthusiasm, I translated it with many, subheadings. That pastor told me that other pastors are angry with that subheading. Please remove that subheading. You put that. That they are, that denomination, all the things are like that in the subheading, and they are offended. And I used to come to the conference from 1982 onwards. I think that the first conference in 40 DeCastro Square, this first conference, 82, or maybe 81, 83. Ah, yes. So I came to that conference and we published that, the Muthukuvel. And I was in that fellowship. The first printing was, a lot of people bought it. And then I was sent out from that GSF. They said, this kind of entering into the new way of life and the new wine and the new wineskin, the churches, we don't want that. We want to have the broader way of loving the people and gathering the people for God. So he said in a polite way and asked me to go away from the church. And from that time onwards, in 1982, I translated this Secrets of Victory, Gaining God's Approval, What God Wants You to Be, and Who is the True Disciple of Jesus, and all those books I started with. And as per his accent, he never asked me to translate anything. It is out of love for God, and what I received from the Lord. From the 10th standard, I got the salvation, and spoke about the salvation. In 1981, I got the full gospel, and I started speaking the full gospel out of the gratitude to the Lord and the gratitude to the gospel of God. I had a great passion that the gospel of God should reach over all the world. At the beginning, I was so disappointed a little bit. I thought that this gospel will make a great revolution, a great, revival in the Christian world. But it was not so. But still God gave the burden, and don't bother about the reaping. You go on sowing the word, sowing the seed. So I translated so many books of Brazak like that. And then it went on like that. And so I remember about our books. It's like a summit, summit. Going. The standard is going up. When I was translating this through the Bible, what is a high standard? What a clarity! The crystal clear. The gospel is so clear. This was presented in this through the Bible. It blessed my heart very much. And then this is a new book, God's work done in God's ways. That was a tremendous blessing to my heart. And it is. I believe that everybody, every youth, every brothers and sisters should read that book more than the pastors. Pastors, they are settled there. It is impossible for them to come out from the new wineskin, from the old wineskin. But many of us still don't understand the blessing of the new wine and the new wineskin. And the book is God's work done in God's way. The book is full of building up together. Building the family, building the brothers and sisters together as a body of Christ. That is the vision that God has given to the church, to build the body of Christ as one family. Those who are gathered here should be in the heavenly places, the same family. The family in heaven and the family on the earth should be as one family. So such a great passion to build a fellowship together by the life of God, so full of the word. 254 pages I translated. All the 254 words are to build the fellowship, to build the fellowship, build the body of Christ. What a passion, what a, with the imploring, with the pleading, that the words are coming from the author. It touched my heart so much. I believe that, don't think that this is for the pastors and they try to give to the pastors, search for the pastors and to give it to them. Of course, you can give them, but without reading yourself, don't give it to others. It is such a great blessing. And then the congregation, the club, and the church, what an anointing that Santos had. I surveyed the wondrous cross There's one song like that, you know. He surveyed the cross in such a way that he penetrated into that cross. And he loved the cross. And even that in the picture, you can see that. The vertical relationship with the Lord should be more than the horizontal relationship with our brothers and sisters. He says, double the portion of that wooden block needed for that vertical relationship with God. Otherwise, we will become a club. All the gatherings will become a club. Unless we don't have that vertical relationship with the Lord, fervently burning with the first love of God. I would say that when I was saved, 10th standard, my love for God growing and burning more and more. Even if I have to live for another 100 years, it will be fervently growing, burning more and more. It will be burning in my heart. My devotion to Christ never diminished. Whatever that happened in my family or in the church or anywhere else. That is He, the cross, you know, you almost read that book. I would say that this is the summit of that literature that comes up, the pinnacle. So, I was so blessed. Therefore, somebody would say, you know, when I read the book, till I finish, I did not drop that book. Likewise, when I started the translation of these two books, I did not stop. Stop the translation. I was continuing. Therefore, I could, with a great longing, with a great love for the Lord, I finished the translation. The content is so rich and it blessed my heart. Yeah, in Tamil we have the 58 books. And Brother Zach was saying to me that, can you say about some miracles what happened in the translation of that books? I can say so many other things. But the first miracle is, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he said, God is with you, I know, we know that, and because you are doing so much wonderful works. But Jesus said, whatever the other works, you know, opening the eyes of the blind, or healing the leper, or raising the dead, it's not a great thing. The great miracle is, you must be born again. And that is a greater miracle. That's what happened to me also. It happened to me in such a way that my life was transformed. Each book when I translate, I am the first one to read it for 6 times. Read the book first and then translate. And the first proofreading and the second proofreading. Sometimes even the third proofreading. After it is getting finished, I read again the book, whether anything has happened as a mistake, I read it again. Almost, I have read 6 times a book. 58 books into 6, you know, how many times I have read the books before publishing it. That blessed my heart. That healed me. I was a leper. In every area of my life, it penetrated as the chemotherapy. Nowadays, chemotherapy would kill you. But this chemotherapy gave me life. It gave me life, it flourishing and transformed me in every way, in my personal and family and the church. It helped me to value the church so much. Hallelujah. How much I value the church, only God knows. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for the church. Yeah, the local church which God has given, I should preserve it for as a pure offering to God. I had such a passion and I love the church. And I gave myself. I loved it and I gave myself to the church. That's a wonderful thing, that the miracle. The miracle is the one who, you know, translate and publish the literatures. The miracle is this man, the leper, is healed. From head to foot, he is healed. Hallelujah. That's a great thing, I would say. And there are other things also. You know, we started the ministry with that, the book ministry, book publishing ministry, the letter press. Letter press, you know, that Achiko Kurudin Solangala, Almari over letter on Kortu Kortu, other way to them, Damal Damal, and the print Ponoril. Over Nalaki, In each day, one day, I have to take the proof for only five pages or four pages. To print one book means it will take a long time. Then God blessed us in such a way that we moved on to, God helped us into moved on to City Offset Press. I'm sorry, Demi Offset Press. And from the Demi Offset Press, everything has to be done. The press, the printing is over, but taking it to the stitching and the binding and the so many other places, I have to take it over. And then CTP Offset Presses. So there's a computerized, little bit computerized. The work was a little easy. Latest CTP Offset Press. And then the latest digital world class press. Maybe they are the world class press in India, number one. I don't know, even if it is in Asia, I don't wonder that they have the 20 acres of the land. You know what happened in this, to take our printing to the world class printing? The owner, they said, we are exporters. We print only minimum 20,000 copies. At least minimum 20,000 copies. You won't accept your order. I went repeatedly 2 or 3 times, I think so. Repeatedly they said, no. What is the manuscript you want to print? How many copies you are going to print? We want only 30,000. Sorry, 3,000. 3,000 only? He asked. Yes, sir. Sorry. And then, what is the manuscript? Give me that. I gave one printed devotion Tamil page. He read that carefully. And after finishing the whole reading of that page, he called the engineer. He called the Ravi engineer. This is a good book, I think so. You please print it for them. But they want only 3,000. And we printed, and it was amazingly very nice outlet came, and we paid the amount. The owner said, please don't come again to our press. This is the first and the last. Because of that, IRS man told me like that. Now he left, so he was bold enough to say that now we won't print your books. And many other books were ready for the printing. I wanted to bring it here for the printing. Please don't come. Then I tried again. I tried again with some books. I showed them not only the English, not only Tamil, we have the English books also, we have Telugu books also, but we won't print more than the 3,000 copies. Please, can you print it? And he reluctantly gave the permission, and we printed some books. And after that, when the first print of the Truth the Bible came, and he asked me that only 3,000. Yes, sir, everything is going to be 3,000 only. Then he printed that book. After the printing over, and we got the book and we made the payment, I went to the office for another printing. And when he called me to the room, he stood up like this. Sir, we were blessed by your work, he said. I was amazed what you were saying. See, through the Bible, your Bible, it won the world, world award. It fetched a world award through your work. We are blessed. The same place where I heard that, please don't come again. That's the same place the owner is standing up, respecting the good word that we are blessed by your work. He never allows the people to, any customers to go and see their factories. He ordered that manager, show our factories to the sir. And he took me, and the factory is very, very, very big. I walking, it's a very large area of the printing, and went there. Yeah. And this is also one of the miracles, isn't it? Yeah. I feel that this is also a miracle. The unknown miracle is, we never lacked money. Yes, the first print, all the times, the Tamil printing, Bangalore offers it. But all the times, for anything. Many of the books are the 13th edition or 14th edition. Many of the books. But we lack no money. God provided it in a miracle way. Whatever he needed, we never asked any people except the first print they offer. But all the money, everything, God supplied. We have a full-time office there and the two staffs are there. There are many good brothers are there to help us to bring the bundle and lot of works are there. There are a lot of brothers are there to help me. Hallelujah. I believe that that is also the, one of the miracle. And, you know, I believe that whatever things, you know, this is the, you know, God's work done in God's ways. I think the Hudson Taylor quoting that sentence, I think so. Maybe I may be wrong. But if God offers that, if you love him, God will prepare something for you, you know, for everyone. We are all the members of the body of Christ. Everyone will offer something, even the small things. If you love him, do it in a perfect way. And God will bless you, bless the church, bless others. Yeah. And the word says like this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. See, all these ministries, I enjoyed with great joy, I did that. Yeah, none of the ministries are burdensome. 95 years old, John says like that, John the Gospel, John the Apostle says like that. He suffered for the Gospel so much, but he says that none of his commandments are burdensome. He only told us to go into all the world and to preach the Gospel. We met hardships, of course, but when we compare with the love of God, nothing is burdened to us. The burden of the sin he carried on the Mount Golgotha, we saw it with our own eyes. What a love he is. What a burden he carried. When we compare ourselves with that burden he carried for us, nothing is burdensome to us. This is what I would say, that someone will come and ask me, oh, this is a tremendous work. This is a hard work. I used to laugh in my heart. So in Tamil, used to say, no, karumbu thingiradhukku kooliya endru ketpar. It was the same thing like that. I was happy and nothing is burdensome to me, and I was full of grace, I was full of the Holy Spirit. God fills me every time of my task, and none of his commandments are burdensome. Either in the victory over sin and walking in his ways, or taking up the cross, or doing any ministries, nothing is burdensome. Hallelujah! We have to triumph it over in our church loudly. None of his commandments are burdensome. Say hallelujah, we are strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
So, all over the world, people have benefited from the ministry. Every English book has been printed by him. Every edition. And they've gone around the world, and today you hear a little bit of what goes behind the scenes. There's a lot of work. He travels on his motorbike, sometimes comes back home at 2:30 in the morning, and it's quite a distance. It's not in his hometown. This printing press is some number of miles away. It's another town that he has to go there and meet these people, and how God has put him in touch with the latest printing technology, and how he's persisted to get the work done. And as you heard, God used other people to help him. But, you know, God has seen these things. In the day of judgment, we will get many surprises when we see people we may not have thought much of or didn't look much upon, how God rewards them in the final day for faithfully working behind the scenes. I remember his daughter telling me, his Ratnakumar's daughter, saying she would sometimes see her father translating, and she would see him asleep on the chair with that paper there and the pencil like that, or the pen, in the middle of the night. I wonder how many people are serving the Lord like that. He's not paid a salary. He started serving the Lord when he was around 30 years old, and now he's 65, and I have never found anyone who can replace him. I was telling him, you've got to train somebody, but you know, I've discovered you can never replace the Apostle Paul. I mean, Timothy can do a pretty good job, but it won't be the same. And you know, the thing is, when God gives a burden to somebody, this is what you got to see. It's a work which cannot be equaled. When you appoint somebody, or and you're in charge of the music, or you're in charge of the literature, or you're in charge of this computer and all, they do it, but it's never the same quality. Maybe they are paid for it or asked to do it. But when a man has a burden, and nobody's asked him, he just has a burden on his own. And you see, he told you, for example, some Tamil editions and all are 13th edition. And we pay from CFC Bangalore, we pay only for the first edition. That's sold, and the money that comes back from that goes to the second edition. The money that comes back from that goes to the third edition. And like that 13th edition, he's published 58 books. And I want to tell you something. Never once in all these 35 years has he written to us saying, can you send us money for the next edition? Not even once. God has honored his faith. I mean, you try and do that for one book, leave alone 58 books. To take the responsibility to financially print 3,000 copies again and again and again, and to trust that God will somehow get these books sold, that I'll be able to print the next edition, year after year after year, and another book, another book, another book, another book. And there are many miracles behind the scenes which he's never talked anything about. You know, his father was a rich businessman, and he's his only son. He's got some sisters, and he wanted his son to take over the business. And that's how it is in most businesses. Father goes, son goes to the son. And he could have lived a rich, comfortable life, but the Lord called him. He could be a believer and still be a businessman, but God called him and said, I can't be doing this work. God's called me to serve him. And the father kicked him out of his house, he and his wife, and I think he had a child as well. And there's no place they could go to. They didn't know anybody. They found a beggar who had a little hut somewhere, small little roadside or somewhere. He went and stayed with him that night because he was kicked out for serving the Lord. You know, the sacrifices some people go through to serve the Lord, many people don't know. We have to esteem such servants of God very highly. I have always esteemed them very highly because I know a little bit of what it is to serve the Lord. And I never had to sleep in a beggar's hut like he did. My dear brothers and sisters, behind a lot of the work that goes on, the spread of the gospel, there are faithful brothers who have been gripped by the message of the new covenant. They may not be great preachers, but who've been so gripped by the message of the covenant in their personal life that they work behind the scenes. Most people sitting here don't even know his name. I've never seen him. I hope today you've learned to value this brother and see that God honors those who honor him. And if I had not asked him to testify here today, you'd probably have never heard of him till the judgment seat of Christ. That behind a lot of the ministry of CFC, and literature is a major part of CFC's ministry around the world, have been people like this who sacrificed, denied themselves, lived very simply. I went to his house once and I said, "Brother, can you let me see today's newspaper?" And he wouldn't get it. He didn't get newspapers because it's expensive to buy a newspaper every day. He had to go and borrow one from the neighbor's house to help me to read it. He's not a rich man. He's lived very simply. Never asked anybody for money all these 35 years. Trusted the Lord. And he doesn't have any other job. He's just trusted God to provide all his needs. Many of us want to build the New Covenant Church. And I'll tell you something. When Abraham offered up the very best to God on Mount Moriah, 1,000 years later, God told Solomon, build the temple at that spot where Abraham offered up his son. You understand the principle behind it? My church is built by people who give their very best, not publicly, in secret. That's the first place in the Bible where the word worship comes. You know, today we have praise and worship. It's a lot of nonsense. It's actually praise and thanksgiving. It's not worship. Worship is what Abraham did there. He told the servants, "I'm going up to worship God." What was he going up to do? He was going up to the mountain in secret with nobody watching. He was going to sacrifice the very best for God. That is worship. If in secret nobody knows what you have done for the Lord, nobody knows what you are doing in secret, you have offered the very best of everything for God. You have sacrificed time, energy for the Lord, denied yourself. That is worship. And that is where the church is built. And God sees in secret. The theory of the new covenant, so many of us can explain. This is the old covenant, this is the new covenant. We can explain the differences and all. It's quite another thing to worship God and to build a church. Altogether different. That is why, you know, one reason I told you, don't criticize Pentecostal pastors and all like I do. Because you have never in your life given up your job and trusted God for your needs. Some of those Pentecostal pastors have done that. They may have some wrong doctrines. But sometime in their life, they gave up their job to serve the Lord full time. And maybe they were led astray. But you have no right to criticize them because you have never done what he did. I can criticize them because I can tell them I did what you did. I gave up everything. When I left my job in the Navy, I gave up a very high salary and I took all my life savings and gave it away for God's work and emptied my bank account and came out to serve the Lord. And I've gone through struggle. For years I had to live with my wife in my parents' home because we didn't have money to rent a house. And I can tell those pastors, I can correct you. I can speak to you because I've been through what you've been through. But most of you have not. So please don't criticize the Pentecostal pastors. Judge yourself. And I think Ratnakumar can because he's done it. There are very few who can do it. Ian can. He's done it. There are very few who can do it. So the rest of us don't go into that realm. Speak on other things. It's very important to remember these things, brothers. We can speak only about that which we have gone through. So if I limit my ministry to my life, we'll build wonderful churches. It's a great danger to go beyond our life, to speak about things which are beyond our life. Yeah, anyway, there's one thing I decided. I said, God's Work Done in God's Way is a great book. Please give it out to every pastor. Now I say, don't give it to the pastors. Like Ratnakumar said, I got light on it. They're already set in their ways. Give it to the other young people who can be saved from going in the wrong path. Those are the people who need to hear it. I believe that it's one way of ministry that you can have is take those two books. And the reason why we put Congregation Club in the church for just 20 rupees is that you can get a number of copies and pass it on to young people. to be gripped. People, your friends who are sitting in clubs, who are sitting in congregations, let them read it. You may save some of them from that old wineskin. It's such a cheap little book, they can read it in one day. It's a very, very important book, I believe, that has come for this time. And, you know, Santosh himself published it after he went through this crisis in his own church, where he discovered congregation members and club members, and finally now he's discovered church members. So it's come out of his own experience. And so I want to encourage you to take those two books. Like Brother Ratna Kumar said, these latest books of ours on Through the Bible and Hear, O My Sons, and God's Work Done in God's Way, and the congregation, the club, and the church is almost like the summit of our literature ministry. The result of all these 43 years, it's not just me. I mean, I've learned a lot of things. My fellowship with everybody is a joint work of the church. Even though I may be the one writing it and he may be the one translating it, it's the work of what we have learned through the years in the church. So let's use the literature ministry to spread the word. We spend so much on 20 rupees on a birthday card. 20 rupees on a book will do a lot more benefit to some people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our dear brother Ratna Kumar, and we pray that you'll mightily anoint him and support him in this literature ministry and bring forth a lot of fruit from it in the years to come. We thank you for all his sacrifices. Bless his wife and bless his family and reward them greatly for their labors, most of which are in secret, much of which we still don't know. And Lord, help all of us to be faithful in our secret hidden life, not to foolishly have high thoughts about ourselves as if we know so much or we are doing so much. We are humbled when we meet men and we meet them and we discover we have sacrificed nothing. Help us, Lord, we pray, each one. Bless the rest of today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.